have our Testify Sunday. Every about once a quarter, I ask people to share their stories because the Bible says that we are to do that. It is actually a part of making disciples. It is a part of building the wall, is getting used to telling others what God has done in your lives or in our lives. And I have a few scriptures that kind of describes what it means to testify. Because if I would just come to you or somebody and say, I just want you to speak on Sunday, I just want you to testify, you'd probably freak out. Am I right? You have in your mind what it means to testify. And so I want to go through very quickly a few scriptures that describes what it means to testify. John chapter 3, verse 11. It says, "Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen." So your testimony is simply just that. It is yours. It is your story. Every person in here has a different testimony. And everyone, I've had people come to me and say, you know what? I don't have a testimony. Yes, you do. We all have one, and it is absolutely unique to us. And when we share that testimony with other people, we make connections with other people because they'll come up and go, I didn't know you were going through that. I don't know. I didn't know you went through that. You know what? I'm going through the very same thing right now. And it opens up opportunities to grow in relationships with one another. And the things that you have gone through, the difficult times, the things that you never thought you'd make it through, but God brought you through, you're supposed to share those things with other people who are going through the very same thing. God brings you through the fire so that he can send you into the fire to help somebody else go through the fire. It is our testimony about what we have seen and what we know. Acts chapter 10, verse 42 says, "He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead." It says, he commanded us to preach, which means to teach the word of God, and we are to testify that he is the one whom God appointed. So our testimony centers around our relationship with Jesus Christ and with God. That is what your testimony is. He is the main focus. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." God uses us to share his story. It's not about us. We don't get the glory for it. God gets the glory for that. We share his story, and we share that story with people that we come in contact with. Simple as that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." You see, he says, I didn't come with eloquence. I didn't come with human wisdom. I didn't come with this great speaking ability. And some of us think, you know what? I got to get better at speaking. I need to know a little bit more about this or a little bit more about that. And we make up these excuses. And this says, Paul says, I didn't come to you with eloquence of speech. I came to you simply testifying that Jesus is the one that was to come and what he has done in my life. Simple as that. Because when we begin to testify, it is very easy when other people are touched by it, to take the glory. And then we do it in our spirit, and in our power, as opposed to God's spirit and his power. So the glory, when we give our testimony, is not so that we get glory, it's to glorify him. John chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. It says, the Jews who were gathered around him saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. And in James chapter 2, verse 17 through 18. So basically what Jesus is saying, I did tell you. I did verbalize that I was the Son of God. And I backed it up with what I did. You see, his words and his actions were synonymous. They were together. They were joined together. So when he said something and he did something, there was not a discrepancy there. James chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, it says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds, but show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. Our actions and our testimony should be the same. Because people aren't going to listen to your testimony if your actions don't back up what your words say. So that is simply what testifying means in the scriptures. It is our story, our personal story. It is shared about what God has done in our lives. It is told to the people that we come in contact with, and it is to match our actions. It's actually very simple. So we are going to have some people come up today, and I'm just going to randomly choose people to share. Just kidding. Man, you should have seen some of the faces. What? It's like, oh, don't look at him. Don't look at him. All right. So the first person that we're going to have come forward is Connie. Connie, do you want to come? She looked at me like, oh, dear Lord. He's making me go first. Oh, wait a minute. No, you can come up, Brett. And actually, Brett shared his testimony with us a few months ago. And now it's Connie's turn. It's all right. You can do it. I know you can.
Okay, as many of you know, in June, basically I died. Okay, I did die. God brought me back. I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be talking. I shouldn't be walking. And God did this. I was having chest pains this last week and went to the doctor. My husband took me to the emergency room because we thought maybe it was another heart deal. 30 minutes in there, they couldn't find where I'd had a heart attack, died, nothing. And my husband, just like when I was in ICU for 2 weeks, he watched the monitors really hard. Well, this time he did again. They couldn't find anything wrong with my heart. It was perfect.
Oh, you gotta slow down. Make it
try. I'm so sorry. So sorry. It wound up. It's muscle and nerve spasms that mimic a heart attack, but it was perfect. My heart's probably better than his. I'm serious. The only thing that can be said is that was God. God raised me from the dead. God took all that negative. And even getting attacked all week with doubt and whatever, and I know that this was part of that. God was saying, I gave you that heart. the doctors and nurses said I shouldn't, after 10 minutes of no oxygen, I should have been brain dead. I should have been in a coma. I left the hospital. They were going to put me in rehab for 3 months. I never went. Every step of this way, God was right there. He was the one doing it. It was like he was saying, if you need to see me, look, this is God, because it's not me. It's not medical. It's what he has done. And I have all of you, my family, to thank for your prayers, for being there with me and my husband through all this. And Lord knows, 5 years ago, if somebody had told me this man would have been in a church, much less up here speaking, I'd have told you you were all crazy and needed to go to a nut farm. I'm sorry. But whatever, always count on each other. Look to each person in here, because each one of you has kept Brad and I strong. I love you all so much. Thank
you. Yeah, so those of you who do not know, Connie has flatlined twice, and Brett brought her back to life both times, used by God. I'll tell you what, God will use us as extensions of his own hands to do his will and his purposes. And obviously, what the enemy means for harm to us, God can turn into his glory. So, all right, we have another person who is going to share her story with us, and that is Heidi. Come on up here, Heidi.
Okay, can you hear me? Yeah, we're good? Okay. First, I just want to say that Pastor Aaron's message last week hit me so hard. The right time in the right place. I believe that God puts people in your life at the right time in the right place. Jill, Johnson, Sandra, the Basiotis, Terry, my Calico girls, my husband, Don Z, all of you guys have been put in my life at the right time and the right place. I don't know about you, but last week I was like, he's talking to me. He is talking directly at me. So here goes. My name is Heidi Bannock, and I'm 37 years old. I was in active addiction for 20 years, in and out of five different treatment centers while adding to my three-page criminal record. 90% of us have had some sort of trauma which led to our addiction. I don't think any of us just woke up and thought it would be a good idea to become an addict. With my first trauma and the spiral of many more led me to the darkest place I've ever been. It is only by God's grace that I am standing here today. I give all the glory to him. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. I started gymnastics when I was 3 years old. I was given an incredible gift from God. I traveled all around the United States competing. I ate, breathed, and dreamt of gymnastics. There are 10 levels, and then you go to college or start training for the Olympics. Gymnastics was my life, and I wanted to go all the way. I was a level 9 and 15 years old when my whole world came crashing down. I was molested. I didn't know what to do or where to go. My mother soon found out, and she didn't know what to do either. Bless her heart. But this situation could have taken the whole club down and affected thousands of other kids. I was yelled at and called names by other girls that I had been with since I was 3. Within a few months, I had tried every drug, lost my virginity, and anything that stopped the pain I was after. This went on for 2 years until when I was 17. I thought a baby would fix it. Boy, was I wrong. I gave birth June 12th of 2000. My lifestyle just got worse, now running and gunning, making my son my homie. Then Satan strikes again, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded and alert. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. My 3-year-old son was violated in a dope house. And from there came a 10-year custody battle, ADHD when he was 5, doctor after doctor, biofeedback with psychologist, and knowing my son could become a perpetrator. And this is about the same time I went into my first treatment. Something had to change. I left treatment early and started right back at it. And the next 5 years just got worse. Marriage for money, to get out of the dope game, to another baby girl addicted to meth, to fight for her just to lose her again, and a nasty divorce. I haven't seen her in 5 years. And it has been only in my recovery that I have found acceptance of that. Who am I to keep going in and out of her life and turning her world upside down because I can't figure mine out? Not a day goes by that I don't miss her, but I know God has a plan. And there's Jeremiah 29:11 again, that I repeat all day, every day. After a few more treatments, another marriage, and another baby in 2012, an answer to many prayers and a glimpse of light to my future, my husband and I were introduced by the Basiotis family to our second home, New Hope Christian Center, who guided our life and our marriage and never gave up on us, no matter how bad it got. We fell together for a few years. We even got a divorce and remarried with the guidance of Pastor Lee and Donzi. But we hung on to hope. Some days that's all we had. That hope got us where we are today. I am so grateful for my husband for seeing something in me I couldn't see. And no matter how hard I fell, I would get back up and fight again. I didn't want to die. And I know that wasn't God's plan for me. Me and my husband have 5 kids all together, and each one suffers from deep trauma. I believe God has you go through things because there's something bigger at the end. I know that now. One of our children violated our daughter, and everything we had to go through, finally, that's when everything changed. Being a mother of the victim and the perpetrator almost destroyed me. I was in a horrific position with having to validate and seek help for the victim, at the same time never giving up and getting my other child the help that they needed, while being torn in 2 different directions. During this time, while going through my own mental health nightmare, including months of counseling and light therapy, I was approached and invited to participate in the Jonah Project. Joel Johnson. And tell my story, which made me an advocate for sexually abused victims that are now survivors. I did this with my family, friends, my sponsor, my Calico girls, all by my side, who then encouraged me to do a step group at Family of Faith of the Biblical 12 Steps. I just graduated. It was 10 months. Pretty amazing. It changed my life. I was able to apply the word of God in all of my affairs. My message now is we are all survivors, and there is hope when you have nothing. Don't be silent. 9 times out of 10, someone else can relate to you and your story. There are resources. Take the time to heal. You deserve it. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And he will hold you up when you can't hold yourself up. That's it. Thank you.
You know, that's why we're here. That's why we say that a church is not a building that you go to. It's a family that you belong to. And because we have people who are hurting, we have people who are going to go through some difficult times. We have people who can relate and has now heard Heidi's story and now can go, there is hope for me. There is hope for me. So thank you for sharing. Our next person was just ordained as a pastor last Sunday, you know, and I thought, you know what? What better way to get him to cut his teeth on this pastor thing than to get up and to share his testimony? So let's give Pastor Aaron a hand.
Yes, trial by fire. I love testimonies. I love hearing testimonies because they are powerful. We can argue with people about what the Bible says. We can argue with people about things that God does, but no one can ever take away our testimony. No one can ever take away what he has done in our life. Testimonies are powerful. Yes, my name is Aaron Morton. I am 27 years young. I was freshly ordained last weekend. Yeah, thank you, Josh. And Jim asked me to share my testimony and share what New Hope has done and how New Hope has been a part of my journey. And for me, New Hope has pretty much been all of my journey. When I came through those doors 11 years ago as a 16-year-old, oh, man. There's ever a picture of discipleship. I like to think it's me because so many of you poured into me so much over the last 11 years. I grew up here in Spokane. I had a single mother. I did have a stepdad. He took me in as his own, and I'm forever grateful of that. But things don't always work out, and him and my mom got divorced. And I only saw him once every other weekend, and that's not enough for a young man, young boy. Single mom, that put me in as the oldest, the man of the house. My mom worked hard for us. She did the best that she could, and I honestly believe that. She gave me and my brother a good life. I had a good childhood. But as the man of the house, and my mom worked swing shift, so when I got home from school, we kind of had free reign to do whatever we want. I got myself into a lot of trouble. I didn't grow up, it wasn't a Christian home, I would say. We didn't go to church. My mom did teach us about God. We did say grace before Easter dinner. But I never went to church, never really heard about Jesus. And as I was growing up, I started to get myself into trouble. And by the time I was 14 years old, I had already been smoking pot. Had already been drinking alcohol, vandalizing. I was basically going down this crazy bad path. And I was an angry kid, believe it or not. Brooke's always saying, you know, how are you so calm when this stuff happens, when life gets to us? How are you always so calm and collected? And it's because God brought me from this angry little boy who would freak out over the littlest things and made me who I am today. But when I was 16 years old, actually, let me back that up. 15 years old, and as a freshman in high school, I had six-period gym class. And in my six-period gym class, there was a pastor's daughter. And we became friends. And then when I was 16, her and some of our other friends tried to get me to come to youth here. And if there's one thing that will bring a 16-year-old boy to youth... it's a girl, okay? Let's just be honest. So I said, yeah, okay, fine, I'll come. It's just dodgeball night. What's the worst that could happen? Well, she neglected to tell me that the pastor, her dad, throws a dodgeball 90 miles an hour. No, but I stepped in this door October of 2007, and I always felt welcome. I didn't come seeking God. I didn't come wanting to find God. In fact, I was a declared atheist when I came through the doors. I said, I don't believe in God. That's not real. And I started coming to youth here. I came back the next week after dodgeball, and we had a thing called Q&A. It's where we used to get together in a big circle, and the youthers would ask questions, and the leaders would answer. And I remember sitting in the circle, and they were talking about King David, and they said, turn to Psalms. And I'm like, what the heck is Psalms? I'm looking, and then Ashley turns me to it, and it starts with a P, and I'm like, what the heck? This is not Psalms. I'll never forget that. These Christians are crazy. This says plus Psalms, not Psalms. So, but anyways, I kept coming back. I'd like to tell you I got saved right away. I didn't. It was about 4 or 5 months for me. Remember one night, the youth pastor, Pastor Jim, was just sharing a story about, you know, his life, his upbringing, how God had brought him through all these circumstances, how it didn't matter what he did, it didn't matter where he was in the past, God cared about where he was going now. God wanted to have a relationship with all of us now. And something that night, and I know now it's the Holy Spirit, it just spoke to me. And that night I would say I gave my life to Christ. But as so many of you probably know, you don't always wake up the next day and just, you know, your life is all changed. I mean, it is changed in one sense, but you still got to go through, you know, things in your life. And then I was coming to church for a few months, and then in April or May of that year, it's probably 2008 at this point, I did the worst thing that a new Christian could do, a new Christian teenage boy could do. I got a girlfriend. I say it's the worst thing because she did not go to church. She didn't really want any part of church. And so I fell away for a while. And I remember as I was kind of walking away, doing my own thing, I would go to games at the high school, and Jim and Belinda would sometimes be there. And I would see them, and I'd say, oh, no, that's my pastor. Don't talk to them. And I would try to avoid them, but they wouldn't avoid me. They would come say hi to me, and I'll never forget that. Them always making me feel welcome and loved. Anyways, I dated this girl for about 10 months. It didn't work out, just let me tell you. And I started coming back to church here, back to youth group. And then in May of 2009, I joined the Army National Guard as a junior in high school. And that summer, I did the craziest thing I've ever done in my life. I signed up to go to boot camp as a junior in high school. So the day after my junior year ended, I was on a plane to Fort Sill, Oklahoma. And I spent the next 11 and a half weeks in Fort Sill, Oklahoma. I was actually late coming back for my senior year. But when I was there, it was the hardest thing I've ever gone through. I remember getting there, and I'm just thinking to myself, oh boy, what have I done? I signed up for this? But when I was there, Kim Brake sent me with this little Bible, and I would carry it in my cargo pocket. And, you know, we have this saying in the military, I'm sure Roy knows it, it's called hurry up and wait, because they always make you hurry to get somewhere, and then you end up waiting for like 5 hours for anything to happen. But as we're sitting in line waiting to get our shots and stuff, I would crack that Bible open and start reading it. And I would say that it was at boot camp. I got saved in February of 2008, but I would say that I found God in June of 2009, if that makes sense. It was when I was at boot camp that I really said, okay, God, this, I got to give my all to you. Because this is the hardest thing I've ever gone through. And so at boot camp, I would never miss church. And then I came back, and I did the worst thing that a 18-year-old boy could do. I got a girlfriend. So, and let me tell you, it didn't work out. She had moved to Seattle over the summer, and I'll never forget this. I had kind of fallen away again. Youthers, that's why we say that the quickest thing that will tear you away from God is a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Because it's usually true. Jim will attest to that. I kind of fell away again, and I remember I was, I don't even know why I'm sharing this. I went over to Seattle, I rode a bus to go see her, and she broke up with me on the bus on the way back. Yes. Thank you, Adrian. And I remember looking out the window, and I was just, I couldn't believe it. I remember looking out the window, and I said, God, okay, for real this time. I'm done playing games. I either have to give everything to you, or I have to, you know, give nothing to you. You want all of me, and I'm going to commit my entire life to you from this point on. I'm not going to play any more games. You have brought me this far. You will keep carrying me. So on that Greyhound bus, somewhere between Ritzville and Spokane, for the third time, I committed my life to Christ. And since then, it's been a journey. And there's been so many of you, as I shared last week, that have discipled me, that have brought me to where I am today. The breaks, they hold it together. After boot camp, after I got back and I was in my senior year in high school, they pretty much took me in as one of their own. I got to see what a Christian family looked like. What a godly father looked like. What a good Christian marriage looked like. I ate at their house every day. They raised me up in ministry. Jim and Belinda always welcoming me, always loving me. So many of you. It would have been easy to give up on a Afro-headed 16-year-old boy who came in here with his hood on, not wanting to find Jesus. But they never gave up on me. And so many of you have touched my life. Everybody has a testimony. Even if it seems insignificant, even if your testimony is, I was raised in the church and I never did anything bad one day in my life, that is still a testimony. I thank God for how far he's brought me. I thank him because I've had a brother that has struggled with addiction. He struggled with alcoholism. And it's like looking like that's where I could have been, you know, had I not come through that door, had you guys not taken me in as family, had you not poured into my life. So thank you. Thank you. Jim.
All right. Let's see. You know, when Jesus went up to Peter and James and John and so many different people, he simply said, follow me. And he poured himself into those people who followed him. But he still loved people who didn't follow him. And that's how we need to be. And in our Math A Tool class on Wednesday nights and what we're doing with this wall building thing, we're giving you the opportunity to learn how to make disciples. But we're not going to drag you kicking and screaming into the building. We invited Aaron, and I loved having Aaron and all his friends there on dodgeball night. Because I knew why they were there. They liked the preacher's daughters. And Aaron is right, I could throw a dodgeball 90 miles an hour. And it gave me free license to whoop on some of them young little whippersnappers. And I don't know if you've ever been here during the dodgeball games, but there are those vents, those radiators. and they're made out of metal. And you'll notice that some of them are dented. I did a lot of those dents. And it sounds like a bomb going off when you hit one of those things. And so it was great. I loved it. I loved it. All right, Brooke, is there enough time? There's not enough time? How? Let's take a vote here. How many say that there's enough time for Brooke? Brooke, I'm sorry. And I told her that. I said, she was like, I don't have a testimony. I says, Brooke, yes, you do have a testimony. Everyone has a testimony. And she says, I don't know if I really want to do this. And I says, okay, I'll make you a deal. I'll make you last. And if there's not enough time, you don't have to share. And she goes, yes. Welcome up here, Brooke.
So first of all, I just want to clarify, Jim asked people to tell him if they wanted to testify. I did not say anything. I found out from my husband that we are going to be testifying on Testify Sunday. So I just want to clarify that. So, and it's not that okay, I want to clarify something else. It's not that I know everyone has a testimony, but when you hear the testimonies, oh my gosh, I'm just going to cry the whole time. So hopefully the spirit in you can understand my tears. But I know I have a testimony, but when you hear the testimonies up here, it's always the ones where you see like people in the pits or like in the darkest moments, you know, and how God brought them out. And it's amazing to hear, and it's so encouraging. And honestly, I didn't grow up in the church, and I'll get to that, but I feel so blessed because I haven't had to experience that. And I share my testimonies, short parts with the youth all the time, the parts that I feel like relate to their stories. But when it's sharing it with you guys, I don't know, it's just scary. So I know I have a testimony, so this is it. And then I know that God is going to use it in someone's life here today. So I just kind of want to start off with my faith walk. I did not grow up in a Christian family. My parents were divorced probably when I was 5. I don't know what age I was because honestly, I don't remember them ever being together. I have short snippets of memories, but most of them were them when they were fighting. So I didn't really grow up in a home that was together, but I had amazing parents. I was raised by them well, and I didn't have a bad life, I would say, but I didn't grow up in a unified home. My parents wouldn't talk to each other after they were divorced because they knew they would just bicker. So I never had that idea of, I don't know, a husband and wife being together. And as I grew up, I always believed in God. My mom would always say, if there's something going on at work, she'd be like, pray for me, pray for me. So I knew there was a God, but I didn't have a relationship with him. Neither did my parents or anyone within my family. As I got older, I had a lot of friends that went to youth group or church in general, and I never was a person who was like, well, I don't want to go to church. I always, like, when they would invite me to go, I'd be like, yeah, I'll go to church. I was never afraid of church or anything, and I actually enjoyed it. I liked staying the night on Saturday nights because I knew we would end up going to church on Sunday with them. And I think, looking back on it now, as Jim's asked me to share my testimony, I've been doing a lot of reflecting this last week. I think I gravitated towards it a lot because I saw their family and that example of what I guess I wanted, and I didn't know I wanted it. So as I grew up, that was my impression of church, was just going with your family and you're surrounded by good people. Like, that's what I thought church was. I didn't see any other purpose behind it. I didn't see the need to have a relationship with God, just the people that were there in the body. And things stayed like that for a lot of my life until I was a junior in high school, I believe. We had a neighbor at my dad's house who was 80 years old. He was a faithful Christian. He went to a church here in the valley, and he was always trying to get my dad to go to church. And ever since I knew my dad never stepped into church. He never said he didn't believe in God. I knew he believed in God, but knowing now when I've talked with him, he had some bad experiences in his past, so that's why we never went to church. But this faithful Christian man who lived next door to us, he kept persistingly asking my dad to come to church. And then one Christmas Eve service, my dad said, okay, Frank, I'll come to church with you. So my dad went, and I don't know, I think I was at my grandma's house. I didn't go. But all of a sudden, I started seeing my dad going every Sunday, every Sunday. And I thought it was so weird. I was like, why is my dad going to church? Like, that's so weird. Like, I'm not brainwashed, but I kind of felt like, I was like, has my dad been brainwashed? Because, like, my dad never went to church before. So he invited me to come to the church with him. And all the churches I had been to before with my friends, they always had a large group of peers our age. So when I went to this new church with my dad, there was probably like two other high schoolers there. So I felt really uncomfortable. I was sitting there with my dad, and I was like, I saw my dad like nodding to like the worship songs. I was like, what is going on? Like, I seriously felt so uncomfortable. And I was just like, oh, this is not for me. I don't know if this is the right, like, a good church. I don't feel the way I normally felt when I went to church. But I kept going with my dad, and over time I was listening to the messages. I started taking notes because I wanted to go back on what they were saying. And then I started listening to the songs, and I like, worship just took over me. And I think that was my first introduction of experiencing the Spirit of God, was just during those songs, because I didn't know what it meant to have a relationship with God. But I remember just, and I know some youthers can attest to this, especially what they said this last summer, but they just, you become overcome with the Spirit, you know? And that was my first encounter. And I remember it didn't feel like a scary place or a weird place anymore. I wanted to go to church on Sundays with my dad. And so I started going more and more, but it felt, even though I was going with my dad, it felt like a very independent thing, because I didn't have anyone else my age to talk with, or any mentors that I had at all. So it was very just me and God, which I think, like, looking back on it now, is honestly what God used, because he knew I needed to just experience him truly and really just, like, head on. And so I was going to that church. I did a Bible study, and because there was no one else my age, I was in like a group of with like 50s, 60s, 40-year-olds, and then there was me. I was like a junior in high school, and it was amazing though, because I kept seeing like these women. They were just talking about like the power of God, and they were sharing their testimonies each week, and I was like, oh my gosh, one day I want to be like them. And it was more that I admired these good people, these amazing people, and I didn't realize that I could have the access of that by the Spirit of God in me, and I didn't understand that concept yet. And so I was still going to Bible study, and I started like really praying to God in that time. And while all this is going on, I had a boyfriend at the time who I'd been dating, and this is now going into my senior year, for 3 years at this point. And as I was growing into this idea of having a relationship with God, like, what is that? He obviously is going this way, and I'm going this way, and I'm scared to talk to him about it. But as I'm growing closer to God, I start realizing that this relationship that I've been in, it's not one that glorifies God, and it's also not one that I really wanted to be in anymore. And there had been multiple times when I had tried to kind of get out of it, but he would say, no, we're meant to be together, we're going to get married, and all these things. And I'd say, you're right. And I think I was scared. I was scared of stepping out into not having that, I don't know the word, but just like that thing that was so stable in my life, you know? And so as I'm growing in my relationship with God, I just feel that conviction. You need to leave this relationship. You need to leave this relationship. And then I was scared. I was like, I don't know if this is conviction from God, or it's just these like religious rules or something that I'm feeling. So I kept praying about it. And I remember feeling like, okay, God, if I step out of this, I'm going to be completely alone. I didn't talk to my parents. I didn't have really close friends at that point that I had been talking to about anything. I felt completely alone. And I said, if I step out of this and into this relationship with you, I need to know that you're going to keep your end of the bargain, that you are real, that you are going to be there for me and be that strength. And I felt like I had silence. And I was like, okay, so what do you want me to do? So I kept praying about it. But that conviction never went away. And I remember It was almost, I think, like I wanted to use God as the excuse to get out of the relationship. Because before, I didn't really have an excuse. I just had this feeling like I needed to be out of the relationship. So I remember one day I was like, hey, God, I'm going to do it today. And if you don't show up, then I know you're not real, you know. And so I wasn't feeling anything. I wasn't feeling anything. And I remember standing there and talking to him. I don't remember what I said, but this is, okay, I'll get to this. But I remember saying something along the lines like, we can't do this anymore, blah, 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 blah. And I remember him saying, no, 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 like he normally did. And I was like, oh, no, God's not real. But then all of a sudden, this is how God talks to me sometimes. That song says, no, I won't back down, popped in my head. I was like, God's real, okay. And so I know it sounds silly, but I knew that was from God in the moment because he speaks to me through lyrics. And so I told him, I was like, God has like told me, and I just like full on was like, God has told me that I need to do this. I want to grow closer to him. And this is the step I need to take to completely surrender. And then like in that moment, he wasn't a Christian. He like took a step back. He's like, I don't know why, but I understand. And I was like, God, you are real. But that was like the first time where I truly experienced like God's faithfulness. And like I said, I've always believed in God, but that was like the one time where I felt just, I don't know, the complete relationship and the power of his spirit in that moment. And so from then on, I was like, oh my gosh, like I want more moments like this. Like I want this. So I was going to church more and more, but I still felt that lack of like relationship that I needed, not with God, but with others. And so one thing led to another. It's just crazy how God uses things, but Carly and Christina, we all went to, and Kendra went to the same high school. I was really close to Kendra. Carly and Christina, like I had classes with them, but we were never really close. One thing led to another. I ended up coming to the young adults group at New Hope, and that's how I got connected with peers of my own age. And then Rachel became like a strong mentor in my life. I think that was the first time I really just experienced the okayness to be just transparent and open in community. And like, I am so grateful for that time that we had in C29, because I talk to Aaron about it all the time. I just remember we had part-time jobs. We were all in school. We would wake up. He'd be like, let's go on a hike and then read the Bible on the top of the mountain. Like, we were just so, like, on fire and on the same page. And I'm just so grateful for that season of life because, I don't know, it was amazing. And so that's when I really started coming to New Hope, is because I started off coming every now and then. And then I started C29. And then this really became my church home. Where was I going with this? But that's where I met my husband, of course. And you always hear, like, Aaron last week, he's like, if you would have told me I would have been a pastor, I would have ran away. But, like, whereas me, if, like, someone would have said, one day you're going to be a pastor's wife, I'd be like, really? Like, that just sounds so cool. Like, I don't know. I wanted that. But I think a big reason why I was scared to come up here today is because as I'm reflecting on this, I don't feel like anything super significant, but I know God has moved in little just moments, especially within this body. I remember when Aaron and I first got married, I was going through a really hard season where I was just feeling purposeless as far as a career. For the longest time, I said, I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to be a teacher. But it was more words, I think, than heart. And I remember with the women's retreat, I never talked to Kim about it before, but I went up to her for prayer and I'm crying like I am right now. And she's like, what do you need prayer for? I'm like, I don't know. And she's like, okay. And so she starts praying. I don't remember what she's prayed about until she hit this one point. And she's like, and God, I just ask that you give Brooke the strength to accept that she doesn't need to please her dad. And that if she doesn't want to be a teacher, that's okay. And she just like hit the nail on the head. I had never talked to her about it, but I had struggled so much with wanting to please my dad. And my whole life, and I still do. He still lectures me and thinks I should be a teacher. But I was in this season where I was just like so upset every day, and Kim just like prayed right over it. I knew it was the spirit of God in her. I didn't need to tell her anything, but God used Kim in that moment, just like he's used so many people. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was just feeling dry and just bleh. And then Ange was praying something up here. I don't remember what he said, but I wrote it in my journal. I'll tell you one day. But she just, like, God uses everyone in this body. Just, every single day. And it's just amazing. And that's what I love about New Hope, is that it truly is a family. Like Brenda this morning, she's like, you don't need to be afraid. Oh, Brenda's over here. I'm like, where is she? You're always there. I don't know why I was looking over here. But she's like, you don't need to be afraid. It's family. I'm like, it is family. Why am I afraid? But then, okay, my last little point. So now Aaron and I, of course, are in the youth group. And I remember that when I would visit youth groups with my friends, like I loved being there, but I was always scared to be like, hey, are you doing youth group today? Can I come with you? I don't know why, because it felt like it was their thing with their family. I wasn't really a part of it, so I would always just wait for them to invite me. And so I think that's why I'm so adamant, or I'm so grateful that God's put us in this opportunity, because like with the youthers, I'm always, if they ever are saying they're not coming to youth, I'm like, do you need a ride? Like, what do you need? I can pick you up. I can drop you off. And maybe they really can't come. But I'm just like trying to find any way to get them there, because I don't want anyone to ever feel like this isn't their home or this their family or anything. I want them to feel like they belong here, because, yeah, does that make sense? I don't know. I feel like I'm not making sense at all. But thank you. But, yeah, I'm just, yeah, I don't know. It's, yeah, God's good.
Well, I'm sure we have another church that is waiting to come through the doors and start their stuff. So we're going to go ahead and skip the last song. If you would stand up with me, and we'll just close in prayer. I love these days. I mean, you learn so much about people, and that's what it's about, is becoming family. And you know what? We're not all perfect. In fact, there's nobody here that's perfect. And we all have our own stories. We all have our own struggles. But God says that we are to do these things together as a family, that we are to live life as a family. And a family lifts up one another, strengthens one another, is there during the good times and the bad times. And so the thing is, we invite people. Like, how many young people, how many people you come in contact with every single day that all they want is an invitation to come to youth? Like Brooke said, it's like, that's all it took was, you know, and you know what? They could say, no, fine, whatever. And we have people that we work with on a daily basis where we could give out that invitation to, hey, would you like to come and visit our church? And if they say no, so be it. But we need to be willing to step out a little bit out of our comfort zone, just to simply invite someone. And you're not inviting them to join a country club. You're not inviting them to be a part of this cool thing. You're inviting them to share in being a family. And that's what it's all about. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time, for the encouragement, for those who got up and shared their stories and their testimonies, Lord. It encourages me, and I'm sure that it has touched many people here, Lord. And I just pray that we would share our stories with other people so that you get the glory, and we can see what you have done in our lives. We thank you, Heavenly Father. And we ask that you would dismiss us with your blessing. In your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Have a great day.